flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Now, hang on. How have the Commanders not just made the playoffs, but won 2 games in the playoffs with a rookie quarterback?
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
How is that possible?
Well, they must have been a really good team last year. Did they trade up for that pick, or were they?
Oh, no, they were. Yeah, it must have been like the year the Ravens traded back in the first round and took Lamar, right? Just a team that's always in the mix.
Or did they, you know what it was? They had a really good coach already in place. And what?
A lot of talent on that roster. Like a really good roster.
Still don't have a lot of talent. Even with they have a GM that knows what he's doing, at least. He came in there, helped turn things around.
They do have a new GM. That's helpful.
So they went.
Not a guy handing out contracts to Ramondre Stevenson and Saquon Barkley and all the crappy players. Yeah, they turned over their roster.
So you're telling me when Adam Peters got to Washington, his first thing wasn't re-sign all the guys from the 4-win team a year ago?
I'd have to dig in deeper, but correct, yes.
So new head coach, new GM, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. Conference championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
You give him any chance? I haven't even asked you this today. Do you give him any chance against the Eagles?
Yeah. I gave him no chance really against the Lions.
Same.
I mean, we said, you know, they had a better shot at upsetting the number one seed than the Texans did. So, like, whatever. I guess we gave him a little bit of credit for that. But they split with the Eagles in the regular season. I think it was a home and home, though, right? I think the home team won both games.
Correct. They lost a Thursday nighter in Philadelphia, 26-18, and then they beat Philly 36-33 late in the year.
Yeah, sometimes it's just your year. Because guess what? Did I think they were going to beat the Bucs? No, I didn't. Did I think they were going to beat the Lions? No, I didn't. So I definitely give them a chance this weekend.
What if they won 7 in a row? They won their last 5 regular season games and then 2 playoff games. They won 7 in a row. So they certainly have momentum.
And I don't even know what Jalen Hurts' status is going to be, because he did finish the game, as he told the reporter afterwards, but his knee got all twisted around. So even if he plays and he's like a little hobbled versus this crazy momentum run that the Commanders are on, I don't know, maybe this is one of those years where it is one of the last teams into the playoffs making it all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's been a while since we've seen one of those, right?
Yeah,
like there was
Eli
a
Manning Giants.
That's what I was gonna say. There was a stretch where it was like Eli going on a run, Flacco going on a run. Like there was a stretch where you had a lot of wild card teams doing that. I think did Rodgers do that at one point? I think Rodgers did it as a wild card.
Were
team.
The Packers a wild card team?
I thought so. So that there was a stretch where that happened a lot. I feel like it's been a while since that's happened, but perhaps I'm wrong. We'd have to investigate more. Beyond Jaden Daniels, like we all look at it and go, they drafted the quarterback, it changed the whole franchise. Beyond Jaden Daniels, what was the most important move that the Commanders made?
Cliff Kingsbury.
You think so?
I think so.
Even more so than Peters.
Maybe it was Peters. I mean, I think Peters will be more for the long haul, to be honest, because so Peters, even some of his signings, I was like, interesting. Now, like, Kingsbury is one of those guys.
Yep.
And but like Austin Ekeler and Zach Ertz and this whole thing, like he got Jaden Daniels, which again, you have the second pick. So similar to our conversation here in New England, he didn't have a choice of Caleb Williams. So he got to choose between Daniels and May. And right now, it looks like a win.
I was going to say, I would not have made the choice he made. I would have taken Drake May over Jaden Daniels. So I'll give him credit for picking the right quarterback there.
I also don't know if Drake May wouldn't have had a good season in Washington with all that around him, too.
Good point.
Like, I don't know. Maybe
so he has, you know, veteran, competent. Yeah. None of them were great, meaning Ertz and Ekeler, the new batch they brought in.
Yeah.
But they're competent professional football players. He did have Terry McLaurin. That's far better than anything the Patriots have in their receiver room. He's also elevated crap like Dyami Brown and Zacchaeus and guys like this, which I give him a lot of credit for.
Yeah.
So
they really have Terry McLaurin, who's awesome.
Though, Drake, what would Drake May have looked like in Washington this year? My guess is not as good as Jaden Daniels. My guess is not that good.
No,
but yeah, he would have won a heck of a lot more games than he won here. That's for sure.
But I don't think anybody would have expected, even if you're like, hey, Jaden Daniels is going to have a good year, they're going to have a top five offense in the NFL. So I give Kingsbury a ton of credit because Terry McLaurin might be the only other guy besides Daniels of the skill position that you would really, really want. The other guys are all like, the Patriots probably have better tight ends.
Would you rather have Henry or Ertz?
Same, or Henry, actually.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Henry.
I would probably lean Henry there, but it's toss up.
The running backs might be better here, although, again, the fumble issues with Ramondre. And then even receivers 2 through 5 are kind of similar. Like, it's pretty amazing that they were able to take that, turn it into a top five offense. Got to give Dan Quinn some credit, too, going to a conference championship game with that roster. So, yeah, they turned everything over. I mean, think about that. They were the worst franchise in large part because of the owner for years and years and years. And that guy's barely gone. Like ink had barely dried on the sale.
Good point.
In the conference championship.
I'm thinking of the coach and the GM and the coordinator and the owner. Owner,
yeah.
GM,
yeah.
Front office, coach, coordinators, quarterback, roster. It was a full turnover there. And not that you're going to get Kraft selling the team. That's wishful thinking. But the rest of it, this is what I wanted. I wanted like a full turnover. And it's still why I don't love the Vrabel hire. It still doesn't feel like a full turnover.
But does the turnover part. I was going to say, because the Vrabel hire on itself feels kind of like the Quinn hire. In fact, maybe a little bit more inspired, just in a vacuum.
You're bringing in a guy who's done it before. He's a retread coach. He's a defensive guy first. I just mean with the Patriots connections, it doesn't feel like a full turnover. But it's a lot better than the Mayo hire,
yes,
for sure.
Yeah. But that's also why the McDaniels hire would be kind of like, man, we're just trying to run it back with everybody but Bill and Brady. Like, I think you kind of need Bill and Brady.
And to your point, when I asked you earlier, you said Kingsbury is the most important move they made beyond Daniels. So you think OC is that important?
Oh, I think it's massive. I think it's important anywhere, but when you have a rookie second year, third year quarterback, it's even more important. I think, you know, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, obviously, a few other guys. Yeah, you want to swap a guy out or a guy goes and takes a job, like whatever. Like they're now established. But I think for the rookie second year guy to make that leap forward, I think that guy's extremely critical. Like I think the Patriots offense, you know, with Alex Van Pelt and the lack of talent, then you see Cliff Kingsbury and their group and just like night and day difference for the kind of seasons that they had. I think it's huge because you need to throw whatever kind of support you can behind your rookie quarterback. Otherwise, they could be out of the league in a couple years.
It sounds like Josh McDaniels, probably still the favorite, but Mike Reese wrote about all the options for them over the weekend in his Sunday notes. He brought up a bunch of different names. Mm-hmm. He didn't spend a ton of time on McDaniels. The Patriots did interview a couple of candidates that would satisfy the Rooney Rule over the weekend. It was Marcus Brady, who's with the Chargers, formerly with the Colts, and then Thomas Brown, the interim head coach by the end of the year with the Bears, who's their offensive play caller this year.
I think they interviewed him last year, too, didn't they?
Did they?
I think Thomas Brown was one of their 12 or 13 guys last year.
So you can look at it one way and say, based on their interviews and who we know they've talked to so far, you could expect a Josh McDaniels announcement at any moment. Or maybe there's more to it. Maybe they're waiting out, as Reese pointed out, people who are still in the playoffs, people who are still haven't been knocked out yet, although there's just a few of them.
Like they,
the note on Chip Kelly, who's playing
tonight.
That'd be cool. Ohio State plays tonight. Maybe they're waiting on Chip Kelly. I don't know. Reese called that an outside-the-box hire. So I agree. That's a very, very, very important hire. I hope it's not McDaniels, but it could make a huge difference with Drake May. It would make a huge difference with Drake May.
On a quick Rooney Rule note, it didn't seem like they learned any lessons from the backlash. So they interviewed two minority candidates publicly first.
Yep.
And then Ian Rappaport has that tweet, and he's like, they are now allowed to get their coach. And you're like, ugh. And then they have, like, the fake Ben Johnson one, and then they hire Mike Vrabel. And then it's really quiet, not a lot of names being tossed out there. It's all speculation for offensive coordinators. And then they announce their first two interviews. It's like, the minority guy candidates don't have to be the first two.
No.
You can, like, mix them in there and then, like, maybe throw us off the scent a little bit. You can interview 10 guys, and you don't have to have them as the first two, and then you're like, hey, good for us. We interviewed these again. Now it's clear we can go and get our guy.
All right, so here you're referencing Rap Sheet. Here's what he said over the weekend, and you're right. It's like they learned nothing from that.
No, it's the same crap.
Did they put him on the same tweet?
This time, no. Actually, I don't even know if they did it.
I don't know if they've even confirmed. They were still waiting on that tweet. Yeah. But let's here's what Rap Sheet had to say about their search over the weekend.
Let's talk about the Patriots' search for an offensive coordinator. A new coach, Mike Vrabel, has started that this week. My understanding is spent Tuesday interviewing Thomas Brown, former Bears interim head coach, also interim offensive coordinator. Dealt with a lot in Chicago. Very impressive despite tough results on the field. Also sounds like they want to talk to Marcus Brady, who is now a Chargers assistant. That said, guys, as you know, most people believe that Josh McDaniels, former Patriots OC, actually a couple times, still lives in New England, currently not working, would be a prime candidate for that job, considered to be the favorite. I would expect Mike Vrabel to talk to him as they go about the process of trying to find a new offensive coordinator.
Okay.
The process, all right.
We know McDaniels still lives in New England. We have boots on the ground on this show telling us that he's been very active in the last 10 days getting his newspaper in his front yard.
Wearing his hat, just a lot of activity in the front yard, that kind of thing.
So while we're talking play callers, any shine come off your guy, Ben Johnson, this weekend?
I think it's overblown how much shine's come off. So they lost, not ideal. You were big-time favorites, and you lost. His team's defense gave up 45 points. I know they had a lot of injuries. I think it looks worse for Aaron Glenn than it does Ben Johnson. They scored 31 points and had over 500 yards of offense. Jared Goff turned it over, four times? And then Jameson Williams. Now, the one that I think Johnson does deserve some blame for is the Jameson Williams pass that was picked off. Not necessarily the play call, but like in that spot, do you trust Jameson Williams to make the right decision? Because there's no way Ben Johnson was like, all right, you're going to get the ball, you're going to roll to the right.
Throw it and no matter what.
Just hawk it. I'm sure he's like, if he's open, throw it. If he's not, you know, run 2 yards and we'll run another play. And Jameson Williams is like, I'm going to make a play. But that is on the coach for like thinking that you could really trust the player when he really can't. That's really the one that stands out to me. I mean, they picked up a ton of yards and they scored enough points.
I just think, and look, I don't want to say Ben Johnson's bulletproof and you can't criticize him. And like, yeah, I thought that was a bad play call. And, you know, you have to wonder if they fell too in love with the gimmick play. This is my one criticism for Ben Johnson. I've heard this before where it's like, all right, every game you got to run 2, 3, 4 of these. Like, you can't just, with all the talent you have, you can't just line up and beat teams. Has he fallen too in love with the gimmick plays? And is his baseline offense good enough to beat teams like the Commanders? It should be. So I think that's fair, but it is weird. And I think there's a lot of pushback here in New England because there are pro-Vrabel people. I think there's a lot of pushback on Ben Johnson. And I'll name names on this. Our guy, Mike Kadlec, I like Kadlec a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw Kadlec doing some of this. Like, wow, Ben Johnson's supposed to be this offensive genius. Look at this play call. And so I think you get a lot of that pushback from the Vrabel people.
An offensive genius.
He is.
There was a lot of plays I'd never even seen before.
In that game, Brady said it on the broadcast. Yeah. And I think he was right. It was the handoff or whatever it was to David Montgomery, who then gave the shovel pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown for 20-plus yards.
It was a bad day for Jared Goff to turn back into Jared Goff.
Yes. And it's weird where all of the gimmick plays work all year long and then one doesn't work and you're like, well, he sucks. Like, that's a weird thing to
not
do.
Not only that, but a bunch of them worked in this game.
Correct.
Like, it wasn't just like all season and then you ran like here comes another hook and ladder and they throw it to the other team. It was like, no, they all kind of worked. Do you know how many times they punted in the game? Once, the first drive.
Is that it?
They punted once. So everything else either ended in a score, a Jared Goff turnover,
or the Jared Goff pick six.
Well, Jared Goff had 3 picks and a fumble.
Yeah.
It's like, is that all on Ben Johnson? I don't think so.
No, and you do have to wonder if they look at a different quarterback next year. You made the point for weeks and weeks and weeks. How's it going to look with different coordinators there? Does Dan Campbell get exposed? You can jump in on all this, 617-779-7937. Real quick before we hit the phones, I thought Brady had a good day. I said this earlier.
Tom Brady.
I've been very critical of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I thought Brady had a good call on Saturday night. I didn't see it coming. We've ripped him a lot for long bouts of silence and weird commentary or just obvious commentary. I thought he gave you good insight to situational football, timing on the clock. Like, he said something late in the game where he's like, you know, there's 30 seconds left, but you got to treat it like there's 15 seconds on the clock, blah, blah, blah. Like, I thought he had some good observations and insight. He spotted the 12 men on the field.
Yeah.
He cracked a good joke about Dan Quinn. Like, I thought he showed personality. There was good insight on the game. I thought maybe for the first time all year, Brady had a good broadcast.
Yeah, and now I'm less, not that I was worried for him, but less, you know, when the Super Bowl rolls around, is he just going to be the butt of all the jokes? Like, everybody's like, this guy, you're paying this guy $30 million or $40 million, and this is what he's doing. This was the best I had heard him. Yeah, I haven't watched or listened to him, I should say, for every single Sunday. We all were, you know, that first week, we're like, yikes, this is going to be a long year.
Yeah.
And then people have told us he's gotten better, and I'm like, I've heard him here and there. I'm like, I don't know. Like, he does seem to kind of lay out a lot, and there's really just not a lot of analysis. But he was good because more often than not, I feel like with the announcers that people don't like, it's the stupid stuff they say that kind of gets in the way. And you're like, what the hell is he talking about?
Or like Romo. Romo just gets in the way of himself with all the dumb commentary.
Sometimes, or they'll just say stuff that's wrong or whatever. And then that wasn't the case with Brady. I can't think of a time on the game on Sunday where you're like, what did he just say?
No.
You're like, oh, he was solid.
No, I thought Brady was good. So we'll give him his due. We've been critical of Brady all year. Yep. Maybe it was a one-off or maybe.
Possible.
Maybe he's actually figured something out.
Yep.
617-779-7937. Let's go to Eric in Texas. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, hey guys. Thanks for taking the call. Real brief. So regarding coaching and Vrabel, I think the Patriots are very lucky to have gotten him, especially this early in the process. When you consider the Bears have had an opening since Thanksgiving, and they're now looking at potentially hiring Eddie George or at least interviewing Eddie George, I mean, there are no good prospects out there in regards to getting a coach. So we got a guy that's going to come in.
Okay, that's Eric, that's way too strong. You don't think Flores is a good candidate? You don't think Aaron Glenn or Ben Johnson are good candidates? Like, you can be happy with Vrabel, and a lot of people are. I think, question it more than most, Keith, but I wouldn't call him a bad coaching candidate. I should think this was an okay cycle for candidates. I think once you get past those four names, you like Kingsbury.
Yeah.
I like Liam Cohen.
Well, I mean, I don't love Kingsbury as a head coach. I just think that, like, if you're looking around, you want to prioritize that. That's why if you're going to go with defensive head coach, then the offensive coordinator becomes paramount. But if you don't like any of the defensive coaches, you might as well skip the step of the good offensive coordinator leaving you down the road to go be a head coach somewhere else and at least give that guy a shot here.
Yeah, I just don't think it was Vrabel and there were no other good candidates in this. I think Ben Johnson's a great candidate.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite the one bad trick play they ran on Saturday, I think he's a really good candidate, arguably the best. And he's probably going with Brady to Vegas, right? It sounds like.
I feel like that could definitely happen.
That sounds like where that's at. Anthony is in Nashua. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey there. First time caller. I love the show. Just wanted to make a point that doesn't really get mentioned is that Magic Johnson is the new owner, and there's that old saying that wherever he goes and wherever Jerry West goes, that success follows. And I just think, like, Dan Campbell gets all, like, the social media credit as far as, like, the hype man and, like, but I saw a video of each and every player getting to dab up, whatever, Magic Johnson right after that game.
What is?
And I just can't imagine that doesn't have a major impact in, like, how they play and how, because it's not like he picked up, like, the number one team and turned that
around.
Yeah,
what is Magic's role with the command? Is he a
part of the ownership, isn't he?
I know, but, like, what percent is what I mean? Like, we know Brady has 5% of the Raiders. Do we have any idea what sort of stake Magic Johnson has in the team?
I'm not sure, but I kind of like it, because don't you think he also turned around the Dodgers?
Well, There is something where winning has followed him around to a degree.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And, you know, maybe you're more willing to spend. Like, the Dodgers spend like crazy. We even talk about the signings they made this weekend.
I'll throw them in the grab bag.
Our guy. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's
put it in the bag.
Let's put those in the grab bag. But, like, the Dodgers are still spending. They're still snapping up every free agent out there. Maybe there's something to Magic. I would put that down the list.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say, well, the real owner there, Josh Harris, the guy who actually, you know, put money into it.
Yep.
the GM, Adam Peters, even the coach, Dan Quinn, the coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, the draft pick, Jaden Daniels.
Hey, add it
some
to
of
the list.
Some of the free agents. But Magic, let's put Magic somewhere on there. I'd put him a little further down than the caller.
Yeah, put him on the list, though.
But it's good he had nice things to say about the show. We appreciate that.
Yeah, appreciate it.
617-779-7937. We talked about this with Jared Goff. If the shine came off him a little bit, and I said, if the Lions lose this week, he was one of the guys we had on our list. I think we agreed that Allen and Lamar had the most at stake this weekend, but I had Goff on that list as well because that Lions team is so good. 15 wins, talent everywhere. Oh, they're going to lose coordinators. You do wonder if people start to look at Jared Goff and go, exactly how the Rams did. All right, we can compete for a Super Bowl with this guy, but can we win it? Mm-hmm. Or do we need a Matt Stafford? So I don't know that there's an obvious...
Ironically enough.
Well, that's true. But I don't know that there's an obvious name out there.
For a quarterback upgrade? I don't think so in this offseason because Kirk Cousins...
It's not
got
Cousins.
Benched in Atlanta.
It's not Rodgers.
It can't be. Yeah, I'm not sure who the who that next guy
but
would
I also,
be.
But I also don't know that I felt like Stafford was going to be moved in that offseason. But like the Lions should be monitoring and active, I think, on the quarterback market. That doesn't mean... You blow up Goff for nothing.
Would you rather have Jared, not to step all over Would You Rather Wednesday, but would you rather have Jared Goff or Sam Darnold?
Yeah, I would rather have Goff.
Sam.
Yeah, Darnold, that's a good name that they could potentially, if they wanted to switch it over, they could. I mean, I don't know who it is.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It's also just a bad year to need a quarterback. Like, if you want to move on from Goff, do it next year.
Because the draft isn't great.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Is there anybody in the draft you like?
No.
Not at the top, which they're where they wouldn't be drafting. So now I don't even like I do like Cam Ward and Shadur, but I don't like the quarterbacks.
Quinn Ewers or Jared Goff.
That's what I'm saying. Do you want Quinn Ewers?
No, I think you just gotta trot it back again with Goff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's where they're at. You can jump in. 617-779-7937. Could you get Brock Purdy? Would they move off that? Like if the Niners went to Cousins, could you get Purdy?
Oh.
Could you get I'm just trying to think my way through some of the QBs that are out there. Could you get
Gardner Minshew? Gardner Minshew is always the guy available.
Aiden O'Connell.
Who do you like? I don't know. Maybe Minshew?
Derek Carr? Like, could the Saints move him? Would you rather? Wentz. I'd rather have Goff.
Yeah, Wentz. It's those guys.
Kyler? Would Kyler move?
Ooh.
No. Okay. The answer is probably no. Dak. Could Dak
Prescott.
Move?
Well, interesting. So where does Shedeur Sanders end up? Is it just with one of those top two picks, or does he block those and then somebody else who maybe has a quarterback? So, like, Dallas is actually not a bad one. Like, if Dallas turns it over to Deion and Shadur, then now Dak is probably the best guy available of that group.
Let me give you another one while I'm just spitballing names. Right. I think he's a free agent. Fields? You'd rather have Goff.
Yeah.
I like Fields.
Yeah, I do too, but like
crazy. I wouldn't go that nuts. 617-779-7937. More your feedback here. We have WEEI Afternoons taking over at 2 o'clock. It's Shime, big Ben Johnson guy, and Mego. Big Commander's gal. So that comes your way at 2 o'clock. All your thoughts on that. I will get you our clip du jour. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Billy's first words were...
Grab Bag.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe WEEI. Stuff we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program, including we have a big college football championship game tonight, Jones.
Oh, baby.
That's right. Notre Dame taking on the Ohio State, 7:30. Well, I don't know what time they're going to really kick this thing off. Probably 8. Ohio State, 8.5-point favorites. You have a total of 45 and a half. What is your lean on this one?
So, I mean, look, I want Notre Dame in the points. I told you earlier, I took them when it got down to the Final Four. I took out a future on Notre Dame to win the whole thing. Plus, I don't remember what it was, 500, something like that. Maybe a little bit higher, 550.
All right.
And so I think Notre Dame can win the game straight up. That is not personally what I would wager. I already took out a future on it. But, like, if I'm betting the game tonight, is it 8.5? I thought, or what's
eight
it down to now? So I think
that's what I'm looking at.
I think it opened higher.
Okay.
And so the money's come towards Notre Dame a little bit. I don't fully trust Will Howard. I don't fully trust Ohio State's quarterback. Now, look, Riley Leonard, I'm not sure we should fully trust him either.
No. But I thought he was going to be so good.
Me too.
He is not.
Me too. And, you know, he made at least some key plays down the stretch against Penn State.
The gamer.
I feel like I trust him a little more than I trust Will Howard. I like Notre Dame's defense. I think they have a better coach. No offense to the state of New Hampshire, Keith.
How dare
you? But
I
think Marcus Freeman is a better coach than Ryan Day. So I think Notre Dame has some things going for them, even if they are not overall as talented as Ohio State. Yeah. I definitely want the points in the game.
You think Marcus Freeman's back at Notre Dame next year?
Yes.
Yeah.
You think he'd take the Bears job?
Maybe. I mean, it depends. You never know these guys.
That's the best job available right now. But you're Marcus Freeman, and you have things rolling at Notre Dame. And maybe this is as good as it ever gets, and you got to cash in the chip now, and you can always go back to college. But you're going to leap to the NFL for the Bears.
Right. Well, is that his goal, or like, does he just want to be a college coach? Like, you don't know with some of these guys. But like, I feel like this is a situation where both coaches probably are back, like where they are. There's not a lot of Ryan Day.
I know his name has picked up steam. I don't see him going to the NFL right now.
No.
I wouldn't begrudge him doing it. Like, go get the money. You can always go back to college. You might not be able to get Notre Dame again, but you can always go back to college and he'll get another head coaching job, even if he flames out spectacularly in the NFL. But yeah, I don't see that one happening.
When it's around 1:30 and the cakes get hot, the Jones and Keefe grab bag's a really cool spot. There's no other place to hear the grab bag. The Jones and Keefe grab bag, the Jones and Keefe grab bag, the Jones and Keefe grab bag on EEI.
That was not the Redux. That was the original.
That's okay. We can mix in the original from time to time. It's just a little critical.
It's not bad.
Our takes are not very hot, is what he says.
Matinee Bruins over at the TD Garden. The Bees and Sharks currently tied at 1 in the first period.
Yeah, what are the Sharks wearing today?
They
look like the Whalers.
They look a little odd.
Is this what they've been wearing all year? Do we just have a crappy TV?
Possible.
Like, it's very possible we just have a crappy TV. Your thumbs up back there?
Yeah, they've been wearing those all year.
That's what they wear all year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not to go too inside, the TV situation in here needs a lot of work.
Well, you don't like the platform error TV that is normally our clock? You don't
so
like that?
So one TV is just out. The other TV used to
Wait,
be...
Wait, you guys don't have a clock in there?
No.
No, we have not had a clock all day. Were you unaware of that, or is that facetious?
No, I have no idea.
Yeah, no, we haven't had a clock. I've been going off the call screen, which is an accurate
Then
clock,
there's another TV, and these are all Michael Scott TVs. are not the biggest TVs.
You got to squint.
So then there's another one that used to be the NFL draft countdown, and no joke, that's what it was, days, hours, minutes, seconds. That's just stuck on zero since the draft last April.
If you go by that screen, the draft is happening right now.
And then there are two others, one of which Jones can't even see because it's behind him.
Yeah.
So that's what we're dealing with.
Okay, but it is 1-1. It is my guy Corpy in net today.
How'd you go, Corpy?
Just gave one up. Bruins got a lead. Lettieri got the goal for them. Marchand is playing on a line today.
With
Coyle and Patra.
Got it.
Because they had to shuffle things a little bit due to an illness in the locker room. So he's not benched right from the start of this game.
Trent Frederick's got the six.
Oh, is that who it was? I'm sorry. It was Frederick who's out of the lineup. Thank you. But yeah, he's back in there starting the game. We'll see if Sacco benches him at any point like he did over the weekend against Ottawa.
None of you seem to understand. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with grab bag.
Good text. This is a longtime listener.
Oh.
Somebody said, well, the TV in the studio seemed to work when those two lovers were getting cut in half around Halloween. That is true. We had people in the studio.
That TV is always working. Yeah, that's like the one functional at all times.
We were watching a horror movie and then some. That was very graphic. Was not expecting that. How about this? From the Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department, the NFC North, which everybody was really excited about this year, myself included, I thought it was a good division. The NFC North went 0-3 in the playoffs.
Ooh.
Lions, Vikings, Packers.
Don't love to see that.
Quickly out.
That
in
is,
and out. Yeah,
that is unfortunate. Mm-hmm.
The Los Angeles Dodgers have signed yet another player. In fact, there's a reliever closer.
Yeah.
Somebody that was in both the Rich Keefe Red Sox finish the offseason plan and the Adam Jones plan. Tanner Scott.
Nice.
Guy who can huck gas from the left side. He signs with the LA Dodgers. Bob Nightingale reported that the Red Sox actually offered more years and money, to which all the Red Sox reporters said, that's not true.
Yeah, Brad Foe came out and said that's not true. Was it a fake Nightingale? Were people running with that story?
Because I saw
Nightingale come out.
Blue Sky account.
Okay, because I saw Nightingale come out and be like, I didn't report that. A bunch of beat writers shot that down. It doesn't sound like the Red Sox for sure. They're willing to outspend the Dodgers, who also made another signing over the weekend. So they've been very active.
They have been extremely active. Do you like the Dodgers' chances this year?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's only because, as the caller suggested, and by the way, Mego texted, it's 4% that Magic owns of the Commanders. It's all about Magic with the Dodgers and the Commanders.
It could be. Yes. They got something going on.
Grab bag.
Celtics Warriors today, 5:00.
Nice.
No Draymond Green. The Celtics have been alternating wins and losses over the last 8 games. So they lost their last game, so they should win today.
I don't even know what the line is. I'll look it up for you, but this is one where I would come in heavy on the Celtics. I think the Warriors are going to be down, maybe everybody.
Yeah, Curry was questionable,
he's
right?
Questionable. Green's not going to play. I think a lot of other guys throughout their lineup are questionable. Celtics are going to be getting Porzingis and Horford back into their lineup. The Warriors already beat them earlier in the year, so they have something to answer to. I would bet heavy on the Celtics. Despite how poorly they've been playing, today's the day I would back the Celtics.
Grab bag.
All right, Scott Peters, the former offensive line coach for the New England Patriots, has a new gig lined up. He'll be the offensive line coach for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Why?
They love the job he did here in New England.
Did the Bengals also interview Covington? They did.
Yeah.
The Bengals love the Patriots coaching staff because they smoked them in week one.
This team's good. They have something.
They're like, what? Yeah. Fire Mayo. They're like the only team that can't figure it out. They're like
the wheels fell off a little bit for them, just a little bit. But they were really good against us week one.
I can't imagine hiring any of these assistants from here, but the Bengals are lining up to hire assistant after assistant there.
Yeah, I think was it Burt Breer was trying to connect the dots, and it was like Callahan – or Peters was like the right-hand man of Bo Callahan, I think it was. Is that who it is?
Bo Callahan from Draft Day?
No. Who's the guy from Nebraska?
Oh, Bo Pelini?
No, Callahan. His last name's Callahan.
Oh, yeah.
I forget his first name.
Yeah, but anyway. His kid, Brian Callahan, his dad, Brian Callahan is the coach in the Titans. His dad was in the NFL for a long time.
Yeah.
What was his name?
But anyway, he worked with Scott Peters, Zachary Taylor played for him at Nebraska, and Zachary Taylor, the head coach. So it's like a weird.
Bill Callahan?
Bill Callahan.
Thank you very much.
Bo Callahan.
Bill.
You know what they did?
Callahan Auto Parts?
You know what they did?
What they do?
Was, I can't remember now in draft day. Did they put money in the playbook and Bo Callahan didn't see the money, or did Bo Callahan keep the money?
Was it $100 at the end?
Did he keep it? Or no, he never got to the end of the playbook. He never got there, and he's like, oh, yeah, I saw that. I decided to leave the money in there. Bo Callahan, a lot of people thought he was a stud, a guy you wanted to build around. Turns out, not so much.
Grab bag.
Doug Gottlieb. You're familiar with Doug Gottlieb?
Well, yeah, I am.
So he is the head basketball coach at Green Bay.
Yeah, that I wasn't overly familiar with, yeah.
They're 2-18. Because I think he's like still doing his show, his podcast or his show or
is
something.
He?
I think he is.
The only reason this had gotten on my radar recently is him and Schefter got into like a little scrap.
Yeah.
Where Gottlieb called out Schefter for something and Schefter clapped back hard.
To he's the point like, where I'm like, I don't think he likes this guy.
Why don't you focus on your team at Green Bay and, you know, winning some games in Conference USA or whatever they're in? I forget. Or Horizon League, whatever it is. Yeah.
Because he was calling out somebody. He made some reference to some like horrible school. Like, what's the point of even like playing them or whatever? And then they like lost to them.
Yes, that happened too.
And then so somebody tweeted out college basketball content. A very simple Twitter account. Doug Gottlieb in the last 2 games, he held a 17-point lead at one point in the first half against Robert Morris.
Well, that's good. They were up 17. That's good.
They lost by over 20.
Okay.
And then they led Young.
That's a turn.
They led Youngstown State.
Good score. That's a good Youngstown State team this
by
year.
By 11 with 9.5 minutes to go in the game, and they lost by 4.
Oof.
So they've
Two-possession game.
They're currently 2-18.
You probably got boned by the refs, I'd imagine.
You might be right about that.
Yeah. Hey, you okay? You okay? You okay? You've been hit
by, you've been struck by a smooth grab bag. Conflicting reports.
Oh.
NBC Sports suggesting that Fenway Sports Group is going to be interested in buying the Boston Celtics. Chris Cotillo, Rob Bradford, and others are reporting no.
Yeah, I think I know what happened here.
What happened?
I read from the Kurt Heelan report earlier today.
All right.
That, that they would be in, Fenway Sports Group would be in on buying the Celtics. He kind of just had an aside of a line where he's like, the Fenway Sports Group is expected to be a bidder. And
are they?
Maybe he was too careless with that line, or maybe people took it too literally. Because it has been reported Fenway Sports Group is going to be one of the finalists. Your girl Courtney reported
that's
that.
That's true. Scoops Cox.
I'm not sure if he was referencing that or if it was just a throwaway line or if people took it too literally, but I think that's where the confusion stemmed from. And let's just all use our brains for a moment.
Okay.
John Henry hasn't even handed out a 2-year deal in free agency yet. He's going to spend $6 billion on the Celtics?
Please don't.
Okay. So I don't think we need to be worried about that. False alarm.
Please don't. When the moon hits your eye
like a big pizza pie, that's... Grab bag?
Wolfman is in theaters, and our own Jermaine Wiggins saw The Wolfman.
Yeah, I heard him telling you he saw it. I didn't catch the review, though.
You liked it? Well, it wasn't like a you got to go see this, but it was like, yeah, it's good. So I was like, all right. It's on my list.
I'll get around
it's
to it.
It's in my queue. I will see The Wolfman at some point.
Nice.
I like scary stuff.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance. And
grab bag.
Take it away.
Speaking of movies and TV shows, new hashtag Dork podcast tonight, 8:45 p.m. on the YouTube. We'll be streaming live our review of Skeleton Crew, the latest Star Wars series.
Nice.
And then we'll also do all the news, all the This Week in hashtag Dork stuff, including a Daredevil trailer and the season premiere of Severance. Excellent TV show, one of the best shows on television.
So this has been on my radar because what they just do, they did like a huge thing at Grand Central Station where they were like promoting the show by...
They had all the actors like in their garb.
Adam Scott and everybody else.
And like John Turturro, and they are just doing sort of like busy work around like this weird office.
How many episodes do I need to catch up on season one?
Season one is 9 episodes.
Okay, so I can knock that out.
It's on Apple TV Plus, and then it's a weekly show, so they've only had one episode so far this season.
10 episodes.
It's awesome.
Okay.
Also, I know you're caught up. You're actually further along than I am on The Traitors.
Yes, great.
This is an excellent reality show. This is reality show at its best. I don't watch as many reality shows as you.
I don't like how dismissive you are of the genre in general because I like reality TV, but Traitors is great.
I love this. So I love MTV Challenge. That's where you and I are simpatico on that. I watched season 2 of The Traitors because they had like CT and Johnny Bananas and Trishelle.
Yeah.
And it was one of the best reality shows I'd ever seen. The finale is wild. This year, the cast I'm not as familiar with, although Nikki Bella, the former wrestler, is on it. So they pull from like a lot of different spots.
Yeah, they're pretty liberal with the reality shows they pull from.
It's all over the map, like where they get these people from. But it's such a great show. It's basically a murder mystery, like whodunit, and it's fun as hell. So I recommend, I think, were they 4 episodes in?
Yes.
On Peacock. Highly, highly worth watching.
Grab bag.
Get twisted.
How about the top NBA performers from yesterday?
Uh-huh.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, 34 points, 15 rebounds. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 27 points, 10 assists. Nikola Jokic, 20, 14, and 10. Tyrese Maxey, 37, 6, and 7. And Domantas Sabonis, the rebounding machine, 29 and 18.
Yeah, I wouldn't say any of those guys went against great teams. I guess give me Jokic. They beat Orlando on the road. Give me Jokic.
All right.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
First thing I got to do is I got to give a shout out to a listener of ours, Jones, Reynaldo, who sent me a spreadsheet with all of the random baseball players of the day.
Because we've been fearful we're going to have some repeats.
We've already had repeats. Raul Labañez is the answer to a trivia question. To Raul Labañez.
Can you see that in the information you were sent? The literature
you were sent? Yeah. So it's all in here, top to bottom. And even who on the show got it right, the date, the player, all
nice.
That stuff.
Nice.
So thank you so much for
great
that.
Work,
that
Ronaldo.
That is tremendous. All right, today we are going to go with an outfielder. He'd hit from the right side. He'd also throw the ball in from the right side.
Good.
He was 21st in the MVP vote in 1986. So if that...
No, that's not helping.
Matters at all to you.
1986. What teams?
He played for the Dodgers, Giants, Blue Jays, Indians, Cubs, Brewers, Rangers.
That's so many teams.
The most games were Giants, Dodgers, Blue Jays, Indians. The other three, really not much.
This isn't right, but wait, you said outfielder? Never mind. I was about to guess Tony Fernandez. That's wrong. Keep going.
Right-handed outfielder. No-time All-Star. No-time Silver Slugger.
I need those teams. That was so many teams. Who is he prominently playing
all
for?
All right, I'll separate it. So he played for seven teams, yeah. But really the core four, if you were, Giants, Dodgers, Blue Jays, Indians.
Okay.
He played from.
And where did he get his MVP votes in 86?
The Giants.
Giants in 86.
He played from 81 to 95.
Okay.
81, 82, he like barely played. So really like 83 to 95, I would say, were his main years. He is a 20 home run guy three times in his career.
Nice.
20 bombs for the Blue Jays, 20 bombs for the Giants, 22 bombs for the Indians in 1990.
And he played all the way. Oh, and he played all the way till 95.
Yes, he did. He was also a member of the Blue Jays 1992 World Series winning team, where he socked three home runs in the World Series.
How
about that little nug?
Was it say Kelly Gruber?
Oh, dude, not Kelly Gruber. No,
Derek Bell.
No,
was the which?
I would
Bell?
Say he'd
Did
be
they have a Bell, not Derek Bell.
Yeah,
they had a George Bell.
George Bell. That's who I was thinking.
You're all around it now.
Okay,
we're right in it. Well, this guy I would say was also on the All Name team, one of the great names in all of baseball.
That's throwing me for a loop.
That didn't help you. Yeah, that's actually doing.
Does Twitch chat have it? Does the text line have it?
Yes, Twitch chat does. Text line does like not.
It. Candy Maldonado.
He got it.
I didn't get that. I stole that from the Twitch chat. That is an all time name.
I always loved Candy Maldonado. He's a good player. Righty.
He was on the Blue Jays team that won in 92.
Hit three home runs in that World Series.
And he got MVP votes in 1986.
He finished 21st. Not bad.
I mean, he got like a vote, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Candy Maldonado. Nice.
Good career.
Add that to your...
I was convinced it was Joe Carter until he said no time all-star.
No time all-star.
Add that to your doc.
You know how much money Candy Maldonado banked?
We can't reuse Candy Maldonado again.
Guess how much he banked?
I do. $2
million. $9.4
million. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty good.
A lot of candy.
Yep.
So there you go. That is our random baseball player of the day. Each and every day in the grab bag. Stay tuned. You got WEEI Afternoons. We'll check in and see what Chime and Mego have coming up, plus our clip du jour next.
Well, it's time now for the clip du jour here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones, you ready for that?
Oh, that sounds wonderful. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, it is a Keefspiracy, which I don't know how many people subscribe to yet. But I think it's going to start to grow.
Keefspiracy or conspiracy theory. The more it gets out there, the more people hear about it.
We're talking about all the penalties that are thrown when anybody breathes on Patrick Mahomes. And I had a theory. See if you sign up with this.
Okay.
I might be a lone wolf on this.
Okay.
I think one of the reasons Mahomes also gets more of these calls when he's like a runner is because he kind of runs awkwardly. So, for example.
It's the dad bod.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a little goofy. It's
kind of waddling
effective.
Around out there.
So like Josh Allen, when he gets it and goes, you're like, that's a runner. He's lethal.
That's a thoroughbred.
You can hit him as hard as you want. You might bounce off him.
Uh-huh.
Lamar Jackson, half the size, but he's super fast. Looks like a wide receiver running with the ball. Mahomes is kind of like awkwardly running. So when he gets hit, it's more jarring. So if guys are like, whoa, he got killed
because
he's kind of goofy out there.
It's your dad legging out a double in softball.
He's trying
his hardest to get on his horse and get out to second base. That's kind of what it is.
I think it does. I think he's got a little something to do with,
I'll keep an eye on that.
With what it looks like.
That's a good Keefspiracy.
Because some of these other running quarterbacks, like when Jalen Hurts goes, you're like, that's legit a runner. Whereas with Mahomes, it's almost a little more fragile. What do you think?
I think it's already picked up steam.
Chris Shime's here. It'll be Shime and Mego today on the afternoon program. Do you buy into that at all?
I get it. I see where you're coming from.
Okay.
He does. He waddles a lot.
That looks super athletic.
It's a quick shuffle.
Yes.
And I get it. He also is clearly fishing for all of these calls.
He does flop.
But I think that's in part because of the way he runs.
Yes.
He can hesitate a lot because he's not super fast or super strong.
Nope.
And so he plays it really, really slow and then just fishes for the calls.
What do you guys have? Is it just a lot of Jaden Daniels Commanders love for Mego?
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of divisional round talk, a lot of Jaden Daniels talk for sure. I have a question that might make Mego's brain explode.
Oh,
brain buster. Be good. Yep. We're going to have the rebirth of Megsplaining at some point later this afternoon as well.
How about that?
We'll also hit on the Celtics, so it's going to be, and some Patriots talk. So, you know, nice jam-packed day.
Mego's got the Commander's gear going on.
She's ready.
Okay, well, that's coming up here on WEEI Afternoons. You got Shime. You got Mego. The crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. It's here. The prime rib dinner back at the 9. 16 ounces, slow-roasted USDA choice prime rib, served with your choice of two sides, available every Friday after 4 p.m. all day Saturday and Sunday. You gotta love the 9. Stay tuned. Shime and Mego here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.